into a dandelion clock whose fragile seeds are blown away by a gust of wind. BBC Natural World. Undulating hills and mountains.
It may not look like it, but this is India.
Narrated by Sushila Raman.
The Western Ghat mountain range is one of the world's great natural treasure troves. Its multi-storied worlds have fascinated wildlife photographer Sandesh Kadur. He spent the last decade documenting its astonishingly varied but fragile ecosystems.
Sandesh writes notes beside a tumbling waterfall.
This is the story of Sandesh's journey through one of India's last wildernesses.
Clouds billow around Sandesh sitting on a mountain peak. A montage of images, leaping animals, a bird hidden behind foliage, a man shouting at the top of his voice, the head of a green snake, an elephant, a frog with bulging eyes, and a statue of a monkey-like god. The mountains of the monsoon. Mountains made hazy by a light mist. A rugged peak overlooks a thick layer of cloud.
There is a saying that goes, we will conserve only what we love. We will love only what we understand. And we will understand only what we are taught. My photography is a tool that I use to help people make that first step.
A slideshow of Sandesh's work. Brilliant red fungi against a black background. A neon blue orchid. Bright green frogs with glistening bodies perched on a stalk. Close-ups of animal pelts and scaly skin. Sandesh is driving on busy city streets.
My parents, of course, wanted me to join the family business, but the Western Ghats were always there, boiling away in the back of my mind. My friends got careers, went into business, manufacturing, property, and into IT. I took photographs.
A rapid series of images.
How could I go to an office with the Western Ghats only a few hours' drive away?
Scenes of city life interspersed with a natural environment.
Also known as the Sahyadris, or Benevolent Mountains, what makes the Western Ghats so hospitable to all life is the range of different habitats these mountains embrace.
Ghats means steps, and the Western Ghats are a very step-like mountain range. We're on a journey along this staircase, and we're ascending into discrete worlds. Below me is a familiar Indian jungle, the jungle of Rudyard Kipling, the Jungle Book. Tigers, elephants, and monkeys. But as we go up into the mountains behind, we enter the rainforest. And in the rainforest, we have strange monkeys like the lion-tailed macaques. And as we get farther still, we ascend into the high grassland. And this is an area that very few people have been to. The animals that live there are virtually unknown, and nothing has been filmed.
In his quest to show not just the beauty, but also the importance of this wilderness, Sandesh recalls an extraordinary turning point. 10 years ago, in the high-altitude grasslands, he had an encounter with a mysterious cat, a type of feline he'd never seen before.
It was 9 o'clock in the morning, lovely light filling this valley, and this cat comes up over the shoulder of the hill, sniffing the grass. It was a very uniform, greyish-colored cat with a long tail. My mind is flipping through the Book of Indian Animals by Prater, and I couldn't place which cat this was. It could only be one of 15 or 16 species of cats found in India, and it wasn't matching any one of them.
Sandesh pencil sketches the cat. A man at a roadside hacks the outer shell from a green coconut.
Sandesh is driven by the tantalizing prospect that somewhere in the Western Ghats, there's an undiscovered predator.
He motors along an uneven track, passing a man with some oxen on the other side of the road. Night falls.
Sundesh is now back to spend a year in the Western Ghats. He'll revisit old haunts and explore new ones, and perhaps he'll solve the mystery of his cat in the Ghat.
Daytime. Sandesh drives along a track surrounded by slim trees. A russet-coloured wild dog follows his progress.
Sandesh and his field assistant Mandana arrive in the dry, deciduous jungles of Bandipur in April. It's the peak of the dry season.
A moth tentatively feels its way across a smooth rock. Sandesh strides across parched and fragmented mudflats.
Everything's just dried out. It's the middle of the summer. It's very hard for the animals during this time because there's very little water anywhere. So we're going to go and try to see if we can find some water holes that still have some water.
A deer in dry thicket. A green pool is surrounded by trees. Bare branches are scattered on the bank.
During the dry summer months, water is everything.
A bird stalking a creature beneath the surface, a turtle basking on a rock, and a bird of prey with long feathers on its head.
We just spotted a tigress with four cubs just as we rounded this bend at the waterhole. So we're going to set up a blind and see if she comes back to the water.
Sandesh unfolds a camouflage tent hide around himself.
It's most likely that she's made a kill close by, so they'll be hanging around the same waterhole all day long. So we're just waiting here, and let's see what our luck does to us.
Sandesh unzips a window in his tent so he can focus his camera on the waterhole. A peacock calls.
Tiger's back.
A grazing animal quickly runs away.
I use my camera as a notepad or a diary. From these snaps, I can later identify individuals and share that information.
Still images of a prowling tiger.
Tigers are the undisputed top cats of the Western Ghats, with nothing to fear from anything, except, of course, man. The question for Sandesh is, could the high grasslands and dense rainforests hide one more cat to add to that list? Sandesh knows that if he's going to document any species of feline, let alone a new one, he'll need more than just luck.
We're just on our way to an old friend of mine, Nisad, who's based here in Bandipur. He's been here setting up camera traps, and he's got an amazing collection of photographs. So let's go meet him and see what new pictures he has for us.
Hey, Nisad. How's it going?
I'm going fine.
Have you been?
Thousands of shots are run in quick succession so that the images appear to be moving. A herd of elephants enjoy a waterhole. Wild dogs chase down some prey. The carcass is left in the water and vultures come to feast on the remains.
We put this camera trap in a wild dog den. And over a period of 10 days, this is what we got.
Wow. How old are those pups? They seem like just a few days old.
Yeah, it must be a week or so.
How many pups were there?
I think there are six pups there.
And the dogs didn't mind the camera being there at all? They seem totally natural. Look at that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful stuff. Yeah. That really is gorgeous. I'm sure no one's seen anything like this.
What happened here? A tiger came to the den?
Yeah, a tiger came to the den looking for the pups because of the scent.
Maybe even the dogs knew the tiger was in the area and they decided to shift their den, probably.
Exactly. And the other thing is, I also saw a leopard. It was not on this camera trap in exactly the same place.
Whoa, that's a massive leopard.
Yeah, huge.
Oh, wow. This is a great insight into, like, unseen world.
And this is the famous elephant called Onti Kongo, single tusker, found on the highway.
Mm. Is this the one that's been killing a lot of people?
Yeah, it's killed around 2 to 3 people, I guess.
Oh, okay.
The killer elephant has only one tusk.
On the way out of Bandipur, the menacing still becomes a reality. With an unpredictable lone male, any sudden movement could be extremely dangerous.
Okay, stop.
And retreating even more risky than staying put and holding ground.
These males, they're just roaming around and they're making their way to the backwaters. You can see this one's been shot through the ear. Males get into combat quite often over females this one seems to have lost his other tusk in combat.
The massive male slowly steps closer to Sandesh's 4x4.
And right now he looks very tense again. His ears are frozen and he's just not moving. Oh, he's hardly 6 feet away from the front of the vehicle. One charge and he'd have this vehicle turned over. No, no, it's okay, Mana. Stop.
After a tense standoff, the elephant moves off the road and passes the vehicle.
Look at the size of this animal. Okay. The elephants have to move from one waterhole to another as they dry out, and they travel great distances during the summer. And a beautiful ivory-bearing tusker like this one is now a rare sight.
From the huge elephant to a tiny lizard which scuttles beneath dry leaves scattered across the ground. Sandesh and his team move on. Overhead, trees with feathery branches are cast into silhouette.
The unrelenting heat of the Indian summer is briefly tempered by pre-monsoon showers.
Heavy raindrops fall onto a waterhole, forming bubbles when they land.
This is not the deluge that will transform the Western Ghats, but it's an absolute lifeline that will keep plants and animals going until the rains proper arrive in a few more months. The first drops of rain prompt an eruption of termites. With waiting armies of ants, most will never even take off, let alone land. Bears, monkeys, birds will all join the feast.
A black ant wrestles with a termite which has already had one of its wings ripped off. Another termite almost disappears beneath an onslaught of ants and a third is carried away.
This year, with these good showers, a lot of animals are going to tide over and they're going to make it to the monsoon. It's filled up the water holes a little bit, left lots of puddles for the wildlife. Without these rains, the summer is just a terrible place for the animals down there.
A deer grazes on some shoots while a bird stands close by.
Sandesh does what all other animals of the Western Ghats do during the summer.
He splashes through a muddy puddle.
He looks for water.
Some birds with brown feathers and bright yellow beaks take a bath in a puddle, rapidly flapping their wings. Oxen walk in single file, then drink at a waterhole.
I'm now heading to the western edge of Bandipur Tiger Reserve, to an area called Kabini. This place is known for its gatherings of elephants, and it's one of my favorite places at this time of year.
A family of elephants gather at the edge of a waterhole. One of them has a good old scratch against the bark of a tree trunk. Close by stand statues. One depicts the elephant god Ganesh.
But even here in Kabini, with its perennial water sources, the elephants are reduced to scratching a living, kicking up short shoots of grass.
They scuff the ground with their huge feet.
Like all the creatures of the Western Ghats, the elephants are waiting for the annual miracle, the monsoon that will transform all it touches.
In speeded-up footage, the elephants quickly move on, and clouds race across the sky above Ganesh.
We have over 200 elephants here right now. And elephants from all the neighboring states, all the neighboring national parks, they all converge right here to the Kabini backwaters because this is the only place left with any water.
Ever since this reservoir was created here in 1974, this area has become a magnet for large herds of elephants.
Following these family herds are the tuskers. This is the time for them to mate.
A tusker wanders in amongst the herd. Two youngsters nuzzle each other.
This is the only place you can get so intimately close to the elephants.
Sandesh photographs a calf with its trunk held straight out in front of him. Other photographs capture a family standing in the water and two males about to fight. Sandesh drives round a hairpin bend on his way up a mountain road.
Leaving the dry jungles and elephants at Kabini below, Sandesh begins his ascent to the second of the steps that make up the distinct worlds of the Western Ghat Mountains.
It's the smell of these mountains as much as anything else that I love. If I were blindfolded, I'd immediately know where I was going. There's nothing like the rainforest just before the rain.
A pale green insect with delicate wings is perched on the end of a branch. A striped lizard slowly moves towards it along the branch. It snatches it up and chomps on it. Thick clouds masking a mountaintop resemble a solid mass.
For the highly adapted species found here, the arrival of the rains determines everything. It feels that life is on hold.
A vast expanse of forest stretching for miles. Sandesh looks through binoculars.
In this multi-sensory world, smell and above all sound are as important as vision. If he's going to be successful in documenting a new predator, interpreting alarm calls will be essential to him.
Can you hear that? Barking near alarm call. It's probably a leopard or a tiger that's walking through this area right now. It's very hard to see these animals in a rainforest. So you've got to follow these calls. And just hearing the calls is just exciting enough.
A macaque keeps a lookout. Mists drift above the rainforest, and speeding clouds scud across the sky, passing mountain ranges and termite mounds.
With the long-awaited arrival of the monsoon, the Western Ghats are about to be transformed.
Storm clouds boil and churn. Torrential rain pours onto deer with spotted backs. A drenched termite mound has changed colour to a slate grey. The once dry ground is rapidly turning into thick mud. A fawn rushes to keep up with its mother, looking bewildered by the change in the weather. The adult deer seem unperturbed and shake off the raindrops as they continue grazing. The rain falls into a pool with satisfying plopping noises. Sandesh walks up a slope, dressed in head-to-toe waterproof clothing. The macaques are in the trees.
The arrival of the rains coincide with the ripening of the jackfruit, irresistible to the lion-tailed macaques.
The macaques eagerly tuck into the sticky jackfruits, which are almost as large as they are.
With such a harvest, there's no real need to fight, but nonetheless, a strict hierarchy is observed.
A larger monkey selfishly pushes a smaller one aside in order to gain possession of a fruit. Sandesh is photographing a brilliantly coloured snail.
The rains bring species out into the open for both food and for mates. Like this group of scimitar babblers, another rainforest species often heard but rarely seen.
The babblers hop from twig to twig. Night falls and clouds drift in front of the full moon. A frog, whose pale green eyes have horizontally slitted pupils, is hugging a damp branch and croaking to itself. A mossy green toad's throat bulges and contracts as it sounds its call. A snake with a green body and amber eyes is perfectly still.
There are 216 species of amphibians in India. Over half come from the Western Ghats, of which 75 at least are found nowhere else on Earth.
A snail with a glossy body. The snake flicks out its tongue, and a frog catches an unwary ant who is crawling close by.
These mountains hold many more species yet to be described. There are over 100 frogs still waiting for a name, including this one.
The frog has a brown body which is mottled with green patches. Its marble-like eyes are patterned with black and pale beige lines.
I could spend the rest of my life here just photographing frogs, and I'd still just scratch the surface.
Photograph of a turquoise-backed frog who looks like he's clinging onto a branch for dear life. Two other frogs are an impossibly bright shade of green.
One of the most extraordinary recent finds is this. Nasica petrachus, never before filmed. The purple frog. Very little is known about this weird-looking creature. It's thought to spend most of the year underground. This is a female, and it emerges once a year with the rains to mate with a much smaller male.
Amazing.
Its closest relatives are found in the Seychelles Islands, 3,000 kilometers away, suggesting that the two populations were separated during the continental breakup of Gondwanaland.
White waters gush over and around jagged rocks sticking out of a river. Sandesh drives across a bridge. His windscreen wipers fight a battle against the driving rain.
During British rule, the discovery that a variety of camellia grew here very well would transform these slopes. Tea bushes replaced rainforest. Roads created new towns, just as deforestation led to soil erosion, the silting up of rivers, and ultimately, the extinction of animals and plants.
Sandesh walks along a narrow path, running through the vast swathes of tea plants growing on the slopes.
What life is found up here is confined to the last fragments of forest, clinging on between the tea estates.
Tea plants cling to undulating hillsides.
Elephants are frequent migrants through these inedible tea bushes.
We're here in the tea estates, and I heard that there's a group of 7 elephants here. And if you can see, we're just walking along this trail, and there's these big craters in the ground, and that's the elephant footprints. Wow, there's a herd of elephants. They're just working their way through the eucalyptus. There's about 7 of them right here.
I'm here to document this too. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Photography is not always meant to be beautiful. We need to show what's actually happening.
An elephant shovels some greenery into its mouth.
Some wildlife holds on, but crops like tea and exotic plantations like eucalyptus have removed nearly 90% of these forests. Migrating animals now face an obstacle course through their fragmented world. But what remains is of unparalleled richness.
A photograph of a beetle with a gleaming body of iridescent armor. A baby monkey clinging to its mother. Sandesh steps onto a rock to cross a fast-flowing stream.
Above the tree line, with little value to humans, the high-altitude grasslands have remained virtually untouched. And it's here, in this most remote level of the Ghats, that Sandesh first saw the mysterious cat that has haunted his imagination ever since.
Clouds swirl around Sandesh, sitting on a craggy peak.
The tribal people of the area have told Sandesh that they too have seen his mystery cat. They call it the Poggian, the cat that comes and goes as the mist. It's hard to imagine that anything could make a living up here in this severe and exposed landscape. But with so much habitat gone or disturbed, all sorts of creatures, some resident, some just passing through, seek sanctuary in these grasslands.
A goat gingerly climbs down a steep slope.
Here we are in the high ranges of the Western Ghats. This is the land of the cloud goat, the Nilgiri tar. These are the mature adult males. They get their name with that light grayish patch on their back. And right now, this is the season of the annual rut. And that's when these males come down here to these grasslands and these adults vie in attention for a mate. Oh, and by the way, it smells being over here. These saddlebacks, they keep spraying their face with urine and following the females and checking their urine to see if they're in heat.
A male is urinated on, and Sandesh photographs him pulling an understandably surprised face.
And when two evenly matched males get together, you'll see them just headbutting.
Male goats gallop across the misty grassland. Sandesh crosses the bleak terrain, being drenched by rainfall.
Started off this morning down in the tea estates at about 1,900 meters and walked up here. We're at about 2,400 meters. This whole mountain range is just enveloped in mist.
A droplet of water hangs at the end of a goat's horn.
I wish I was as adapted to this mountain climate as the Nilgiri tar.
But it is this rain that makes the Western Ghats what it is.
Tumbling white water.
10 meters falls here each year, and the runoff is not only spectacular, but vital to providing the water for the thirsty plains below.
Water is one of the biggest issues facing 21st century India. All the major rivers in peninsular India originate in the Western Ghats, and we need to protect this mountain range as a catchment area for all of the rainwater that provides for the growth of 21st century India. And if we can't protect the Western Ghats, we're destroying our own future.
A monkey with pointed ears and another with a head of frizzy auburn hair.
Sandesh decides it's best to head home, back to Bangalore. His friend Nisarg's camera traps have shown what a few strategically placed boxes can reveal.
A cloud goat is enveloped by mist.
Back in Bangalore, Sandesh has some research to do.
A book called Fauna of British India.
What could the Poggian, the mystery cat that he saw in the high grasslands, actually be? With its solid grey colour, rounded ears and long tail, it fits none of the standard descriptions. With the help of his sister, a wildlife artist, Sandesh tries to put a shape to what he has witnessed.
Seeing the form of the Poggian come to life here.
His sister smiles as she continues to sketch.
The Western Ghats certainly has many new species yet to be discovered, mainly reptiles and amphibians. But a new cat in 21st century India?
Sandesh heads towards a building.
Sandesh now knows what he needs to find out.
A woman works on a circuit board inside the Center for Electronics Design Technology. A worm-like creature is almost indistinguishable from the twig it's attached to. A cloud goat and a monkey shake water from their fur. A bird of prey takes flight, and a purple toad buries itself in sticky mud. The woman closes the front of a camera.
Finally, the clouds clear.
The silhouette of a mountain resembles the side profile of a face. Sandesh drives past neat rows of tea bushes. A group of men approach his vehicle.
Sandesh is back above the tea estates and ready to return to the high grasslands and renew his quest for the Poggian and whatever other creatures his boxes of equipment might reveal.
A lime green snake and a bird perched on a stalk of bright pink flowers. The men carry Sandesh's equipment on their shoulders and heads along a narrow track.
The expedition is entering Eriviculum National Park.
A bird with a yellow breast and grey head takes flight from a twig. Sandesh and his men continue along the track.
Eriviculum is probably one of the most guarded national parks that I've ever been to. Hardly anyone is ever allowed to come up here. So we're actually very privileged to be here and to be able to explore this area, to be setting up camera traps.
Shola is the name given to the stunted forests that grow in these undulating high-altitude grasslands. Like oases in the desert, the Sholas are the focus of all life up on these exposed and windswept plains.
A shack with a red roof and green walls.
An old corrugated building sits incongruously in the heart of Eriviculum National Park. Built in the early 20s by the British, it will be Sandesh and his team's base for the next few months.
We're bringing all the camera traps, and in addition to that, these metal contraptions that are really heavy. But we've had to bring them up here because I lost two cameras to elephants last year, so I don't want that to happen again.
A photo of an elephant destroying a camera trap.
The old British fishing hut has a panoramic view of the surrounding ranges, dominated by the highest peak in India south of the Himalayas. This is Arne Mudi, the elephant's head, rising to nearly 9,000 feet. Scientists still know very little about what lives up here, except that many of the animals that are found here are found nowhere else on Earth.
Hey, over here. Beautiful. Beautiful snake. Look at that. It's a shield tail.
He was probably just basking on this trail in this early morning light. He's got tiny red spots along the side here and a lovely speckled underside. Look at that.
I'm sure this is an endemic. I'm sure this is not found anywhere else in the world. This is a biodiversity hotspot. And every year, scientists are discovering new species in these mountains.
Some of the high elevation species, like this shield tail perhaps, could possibly be new. It's the first time I've ever seen one of these, and we'll be taking it down and trying to identify what species it is.
The high grasslands are windswept. It gets cold up here.
Frosted blades of grass. Sandesh packs some equipment and the convoy sets off.
But despite the apparently inhospitable surroundings, there's life here, and with the help of his camera traps, Sandesh is determined to find out exactly what's out there.
Sandesh chains a camera to a tree, then crouches in front of it and holds his hands together in prayer. Wild dogs are scattered across the grassland.
A pack of dhole, Indian wild dogs, have moved up into the grasslands around the fishing hut. When a Samba doe and her calf are also seen in the area, Sandesh and Mandana move in with their cameras. Dhole are India's most expert and remorseless group hunters. Once on the trail of their quarry, they rarely, if ever, miss.
The doe and calf have taken refuge in a river, but the dhole are waiting for them on the bank.
The mother sees a way out and seizes the chance, but is forced to abandon her calf.
The calf splashes the water with a front leg and a dhole leaps in. The calf runs away as fast as it can, but it has no escape route. Photographs of a dhole on the bank and a calf in the water. The dog leaps, it is caught mid-air. Still images capture the moment. A dhole swims after the calf. Water splashes around the two of them. The dog holds the calf's throat in its jaws. The calf's visible eye is wide with fear and pain. Another dhole launches an attack, and a third joins them as the calf's body is dragged up onto the bank and feasted upon. Clouds coil and drift against the backdrop of the caramel-coloured early morning sky. The sun rises behind a mountain, and bright light shines onto the shack.
Sandesh has set out to document the flora and fauna of the Western Ghats. He wants to build as complete a picture as possible of what makes the region so unique.
Still images captured by the camera trap show otters, a tiger, a porcupine, and Sandesh.
But the longer he spends in the misty mountains of Erivikulam, the more determined he becomes to document one species above all.
Desperate times call for pretty desperate measures, and I think I'm going to have to put a bird as bait.
Sandesh has set up a tent and carries a bird cage across the grassland. A deer on a hillside is swallowed up by a thick mist. Sandesh sets up the empty birdcage on a makeshift tableau of flat rocks.
Okay, the camera's in place, the cage is in place, and all I need now is the bird to put in the cage. And here it is. A black-capped chickadee.
It's a plastic model.
That's good.
The fake bird turns from side to side on a motorized pole.
I saw the Pogayan in broad daylight, but my hunch is that, like most Indian cats, the Pogayan is going to be a nocturnal creature. And it's at night that I reckon we're going to have our best opportunity.
Stars swirl in the black sky above the Elephant Head Mountain. Night vision footage of the fake bird in its cage. Sandesh is in his tent.
I'm up here on a hillock, and I'll be waking up every couple of hours and scoping the hillside and see what I can get. All right. Just looking out there, it's pitch black. I can't see a thing. But looking through this monitor, I can actually see what's going on in the landscape in front of me. The grasslands are completely blue in color. So any warm-blooded animal passing from one shoulder to the other will be able to get a very, very clear image as they cross the shoulder.
Sandesh narrows his eyes at the heat-sensitive footage of the region. The sky is purple and the mountains orange. They resemble a science fiction alien landscape. A creature moves in the undergrowth, and a goat chews on a leaf, its body glowing yellow.
Monkeys, Nilgiri tar, even elephants appear on the heat-seeking camera. But no cat.
An elephant tears down a branch to chew on. Daylight. Sandesh's tent is still pitched on the grassland. Insects buzz around pale yellow and pure white flowers. Sandesh and Mandana are on the move.
Treated by still alive.
Sandesh removes the camera from its metal casing.
So the camera's still running. So Tweety Pie lives to treat another day. So let's keep the bird out there and a little longer and see what happens.
Tweety Pie may have evaded attention, but Sandesh's video camera traps have had a busier night. A mouse deer and a leopard cat maneuver around one another in the dark.
The two animals look to be roughly the same size, similar to a domestic cat.
A jungle cat has reason to be timid with leopards sharing the same territory. But once again, the cameras record nothing that cannot be found in the textbooks. Like all naturalists, Sandesh knows that local knowledge is essential. He turns to the indigenous people of this area. The Mudovan have exchanged their semi-nomadic hunter-gatherer existence for village life. But they're expert trackers and retain a close affinity for the wildlife of the area. Sandesh has come to see one of the Mudovan elders.
Last in the mala last lochi oru naal paathirukku
inge inda inda pakkam mele ange kurunji area thalle
Krishnan has seen the pogian 3 times in his life over here, and he saw one most recently about a year ago just beyond this hill behind this hamlet of Lakkamkudi. In all the areas that he says he has seen the pogian, we've had our camera traps, but we just haven't had any luck.
Idu pogian pogian puliga vala
பொகையின் புலிக்கும் அந்த புலிங்கிற டைப்புக்கு எல்லாம் ஒரே கணக்கு வாழும் பெரும்பாலும் எடுக்கும். ஆனால் சிறுசு பெருசு அட்டங்கட்டமாக இருக்கும். அவ்வளவுதான்.
Well, I mean, in summary, he basically says that it's one of the larger cats with a long tail, a uniform darkish gray, almost brownish color, rounded ears. He says that there's one, and it's the same one that he has seen several times.
Sandesh is running out of time, but Krishnan's descriptions of the Pogian have suggested another explanation for the mystery cat's true identity. Sandesh is reminded of a tantalizing note his researchers threw up. While albino leopards are very rare, they are not completely unknown. Could the local leopard population have a mutant gene that occasionally throws a gray individual?
Sandesh takes a photograph.
I've spent 10 years documenting the wildlife of these mountains. The idea that I'd be able to add another mammal, a new carnivore, to the portfolio has been a dream.
Mist-shrouded forests.
Back in the field with the Mudovan tracker called Vijayan, it's time for a last push.
Sandesh fills a water bottle.
Well, it's been several months and I've just had no luck up here in this part of the national park. So I've been talking to Vijayan earlier this morning, and he believes that the best chance to find a pogian is going to be around Anaimudi.
Vijayan insists that the elephant's head is the most likely place to find the cat that comes and goes like the mist.
Vijayan leads the way up the steep mountainside, followed by Sandesh and Mandana. As the sun travels across the sky, shadows slowly caress the landscape. The men trudge through knee-high grass. A clump of trees.
Sandesh and Mandana leave camera traps on the trail up to the summit.
Clouds spill over mountaintops, resembling the white foam churning at the top of a boiling pan of water. The men's progress is slow, but they're gradually closing in on the mountain peak. Giant boulders jut out of the grasses. Wispy clouds hang in the blue sky overhead. The mountain towers above the undulating hills stretching out around it. The landscape is pitted with craters, emphasized by dark shadows. A trident has been stuck into the summit of the mountain. Sandesh has a drink of water.
We're on the summit of Anaimudi, Elephant's Head. We're at nearly 9,000 feet above sea level, and this is the highest point south of the Himalayas. At the start of the quest, I was really hoping that the Pogian would be a cat that ends up with a Latin name, a new species. It has been frustrating and unfortunate that we haven't found the Pogian, but I'm happy that we've come across many things along the way. It's been a great experience. The fact that in 21st century India, there are still places like this that are wild enough, remote enough, and unexplored enough for a new species like the Pogian to exist is cause for celebration and hope.
Sandesh walks down the mountain.
Sandesh has still to prove the existence of the Pogian. But his extraordinary images have revealed a little-known wilderness and shown why preserving these mountains is essential not only to its wild inhabitants, but for the future of all Indians.
Some of Sandesh's photographs depicting birds, reptiles and mammals in their natural environments.
Will I call my home? Where then? Will I call my home? Where then will I call my home?